The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
We've documented all of this material because in the practice of abortion, you're not going to find virtue.
Coming up, after leading an undercover investigation, Lila Rose revealed the nation's largest abortion chain was participating in sex trafficking.
Okay.
There are 14
yeah.
and under?
Yeah.
Just send them right there if they need an abortion. Okay.
Exposing the corruption and abuse that exists in the abortion industry. Next.
Thank you so much for joining us on Life Today. I'm Betty and this is James.
We're thrilled to have Lila Rose back with us. She has started an organization that is, I think, one of the most high-impact organizations in the country. There is her website. And you're going to see some pretty shocking video footage where she actually did undercover to show what's going on in abortion clinics. And I think it's an absolute necessity for every one of you watching who believe that God matters, that He's important, believe faith is important, believe family, marriage is important, and freedom. You believe life is important. Very important for you to watch what you're about to see, pass on the information, and get involved even with what Lila is doing. Would you welcome Lila Rose back to Life Today? Lila, we found out you were first interested in this issue as a 9-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
As a 15-year-old, you started Live Action, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
And you have been building that organization. For what purpose?
The goal of Live Action is to spread the truth about what's happening every day in the abortion industry and lobby, to expose the truth, and then also to reach young people and inspire them to stand up for life, for the dignity of the human person, because there's nothing more beautiful, there's nothing more valuable than human life.
What do you say to the girls and the women that have made the wrong choices?
Well, I think that there's always a second chance. I mean, if there's someone that has been hurt by abortion, then what we would want for them, and there's ministries all across the United States that do post-abortion counseling and things like that to get them the help that they need to heal, because a lot of women are weighed down, and men who are fathers that their children were aborted, who are weighed down by guilt or by hurt because of that, and that's something that there is healing for, and Jesus Christ, through Him, there's forgiveness for that. And so that's something that, you know, there's ministries all across the United States that want to help women in those situations. But the message to young people particularly is to stay away from, not only stay away from abortion and don't have one yourself, but this is a human rights issue. This is the human rights issue of our day, I believe, because these are people that are being killed and are not protected by the government, are not protected by the legal system. And so it's up to us to stand up and speak out for them, and then to expose the organizations like Planned Parenthood that are doing this evil, that are committing these abortions and are lying every day to women across our country.
Overall, what kind of response are you having from young people, young adults?
Well, it's so exciting because we're seeing, Betty, that young people are very responsive to the pro-life message. I mean, on high school and college campuses, we're seeing young people that are starting pro-life clubs. There's now hundreds of them across the country that they're starting up pro-life clubs to spread the truth to their peers. We have a magazine on over 200 high schools and colleges called Advocate, where they're distributing the truth to their friends. And their social media is another way that young people are connecting and getting the truth out about life, about the undercover tapes, the truth about what abortion does to the unborn child. So it's amazing how young people who, in their hearts, we know the truth. We know that life is valuable. We want to value it. We want to stand up for something bigger than ourselves. And the pro-life movement is a wonderful way to do that. And young people are coming to it more and more. It's amazing.
You have actually targeted some of the abortion agencies. You expressed very deep concern about Planned Parenthood and the federal funding that they get and the number of abortions that they do perform. And while they are continually being presented as, you know, giving women services. Mm-hmm. This is a primary service that they do. And you found some very unethical practices by going in and just asking mm-hmm. typical questions that might come to them by underage girls. You actually started this when you were pretty young mm-hmm. and found out that they were not going to report where the law had been broken. They were going to basically tell you as an underage girl yep. that go on with your life with an older person having sex, and if you need another abortion, come back to see them. That's basically, that's not good counsel from an agency that's looking out for women. It's like a license to live licentiously. Well, you also, though, have gone in. I think you went into enough clinics that you got to where you were recognized. They probably had your picture up in Planned Parenthood
they did,
offices,
yep.
right? So what did you do in order to go in and ask some more questions?
Well, after they started putting up my photo, you know, as a brunette, saying, watch out, Lila Rose, last seen in Florida. I hadn't been doing undercover work in Florida, so they must have got their tip line was a little broken. But then I bleached my hair blonde when I was 19 to keep going undercover. And we went to all across the country then. We did 10 different clinics in 7 different states, exposing the sexual abuse cover-up. And then after that, they put the blonde photo up next to the brunette photo. So they started really catching on. And then we just thought, okay, it's time to train other people. So we started to really build an organization, a movement. And now I work with, you know, people young and old. We don't just use young investigators, but we have some other, you know, different age groups and everything to do the undercover work.
And so what's your purpose in that? I mean, you're just trying to make them look bad or what?
Well, it's not hard. We don't have to make them look bad. You just set a camera up and they'll look bad. So there's nothing that goes into the making them look bad part.
What makes them that way, that they can be so obviously ruthless or lawless or insensitive to the value of the girl's life, not to say nothing of the child's life they're about to take? What causes them to be like that?
We're talking about violently killing a little, totally defenseless human being, okay? And we're talking about a violent act that I think desensitizes the people involved, whether they're the abortionist or the nurse practitioner or the whole organization. But that spiritually, and then the actual act of it morally, hurts the entire, everybody else involved, everyone. And so when we are in a clinic and we find sexual abuse cover-up, we find the willingness to aid and abet traffickers. And we've documented all of this across the board in states across the country. You can go on our website, you can watch all these videos. We've done this for 4 years now. Sexual abuse cover-up, trafficking, racism, misinformation, coercive counseling, manipulative counseling. We've documented lies from Planned Parenthood executives and CEOs. We've documented all of this material because in the practice of abortion, you're not going to find virtue. You're not going to find people standing up for other people and protecting other people, but you're going to find more degradation and more abuse, law-breaking, every kind of abuse.
I'd like our viewing audience to see one particular video that they did where someone came in playing, somebody you had sent in was acting the role of a pimp, mm-hmm. and they're bringing underage girls in, like 14 years old and very young, and wanting to know if the abortion clinic could help them, if these girls who were working for him got pregnant, could they help them out and cover mm-hmm. it up, right?
And these are exactly, and these are, they're talking about 14-year-old girls. They're posing as sex traffickers. Mm. who are manipulating, abusing little girls. They're at a Planned Parenthood tax-funded abortion clinic, and what you're about to see is how the manager of the clinic is responding to our actors who are posing as sex traffickers of little girls.
Watch this.
They come in for pregnancy testing. At that point, it still needs to be. You never got this from me, just to make all of our lives easier.
Okay.
If they're 14
yeah.
and under,
yeah.
just send them right there if they need an abortion. Okay. So pregnancy, 14 and under, just go straight there. Just
okay.
Keep us out of the loop because exactly.
Yeah.
Here's the thing too. If they're minors, just tell them to put down that they're students.
Students.
Yeah. Just kind of play along that they're students. We want to make it look as legit as possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm assuming most of them were coming in illegally, right? So
yeah,
now,
so
they're
not
going to
have all the
beforehand.
Exactly.
Yeah, we're not going to know their health.
So the whole thing is like, with me, we already know. I see you. We already know. We're going to kind of alter the story and kind of see what we can do to kind of tweak information.
Yeah.
You might just need to any way we could just, like, streamline this, like, holler at you, slide you a little,
get them streamlined. Depending on what the situation is, we might be able to do that. So, if you can give me a couple of days notice, then that way I can even have it set up.
You can have it all set up, streamlined.
Who was that lady?
She was a manager at a Planned Parenthood clinic in New Jersey. So, and what you just saw, we did that in 7 other clinics, and you can see 7 clinics total. You can see these on our website at liveaction.org. And this is just among our other videos, and we have now 17 out there that show the sexual abuse cover-up, the trafficking that goes on at these clinics, because abusers, when they get a little girl pregnant or a traffic victim pregnant, they're looking at the abortion clinic as a way out, as a way to cover up the crime and keep abusing that little girl. We're talking about real girls who are the victims of abuse. I mean, this is just another aspect of what has happened in our country, where with the legalization of abortion, with the acceptance of abortion, we're allowing abuse, we're allowing the victimization of women, we're allowing trafficking, we're allowing so many other things that are supported by that ultimate abuse of abortion.
What does the law do when they see your videos? What do they do about that? Because what they're doing is illegal.
Exactly. I mean, what they're doing in every state where they're doing this, the cover-up of sexual abuse, aiding and abetting traffickers, it's illegal. So Planned Parenthood needs to be held to the highest level of the law. They need to be held accountable. They need to be prosecuted and convicted. But what has happened again and again, and it's so horrible to see this, is politically, there's politics that get involved in the laws that do exist to protect these girls or these women, and Planned Parenthood has not once been convicted of a crime for any of this. And so we've seen defunding on the state level, we've seen employees that have been maybe fired or suspended, but we've never seen a conviction for these crimes. And that's what we need to see. We need some brave attorneys general. We need district attorneys to stand up and actually enforce the law here, because they're getting away with the further victimization of these girls.
I wrote an article that came from Erwin Lutzer's Lessons We Should Learn from Nazi Germany. He's the pastor at Moody Church. And what the churches did was they just sang louder. When the Jews were being rail cars passing the churches, and they could hear the people wailing in the cars, and they knew when the train was coming, they would just sing louder. And I wrote an article, "Will the church just sing louder?" Doesn't it seem that church people and Christians and people who claim to love their families and believe in God and believe in freedom, doesn't it seem like we're just sitting around church singing louder while this is happening, a little bit like what was happening in Nazi Germany when there were millions of people being terminated and nobody seemed to bat an eye, and the people that were perpetrating the crimes and leading them into the execution chambers had their conscience seared with a hot iron, but did not the whole of the nation to some degree have their conscience seared and subdued to where they didn't have sensitivity? Are we not seeing something in some way akin to what happened there in the way people have become either calloused or indifferent?
Absolutely. And what we're facing today, every single day, when there are over 4,000, and those are just the reported ones in our country, of children who are slaughtered. I mean, abortion is a violent act. Children who are killed, sometimes down the street from our churches, within 10 miles of our homes, at these tax-funded abortion centers. And they're being killed in our own communities. And there's over 50 million of these children that have been killed. This is a Holocaust upon Holocaust. And I think that people are going to look back on today, on the barbarism of today, the way that we mistreated, we killed the people that were the weakest, that couldn't even cry out for help. And we're going to say, how did we remain silent? How did we just go around living our lives? And that's why I've dedicated my life to the culture of life and to fighting this injustice. And so many other people are realizing that and are dedicating their lives as well, because every day we have to keep the sense of urgency. Children are being killed every day. Women are becoming a part of, wrapped up in this as well. And so we need to fight every day for the protection of these, of our unborn brothers and sisters.
Lila, we have wonderful viewers, people that just love to help people. And I'm sure some of them are sitting there saying, what can I do? Where do I start? What would you tell them? I mean, where they say, what do I do to help?
Well, first of all, I would say go to the website liveaction.org, watch a couple of the videos, start to educate yourself, mm-hmm. get some of the facts about abortion, Planned Parenthood, what's happening in our country culturally and politically. Sign up to be connected with us. Get our updates, get our releases. We're going to have new videos coming out soon. There's ways to support us financially. There's ways to support all kinds of great pro-life and pro-family organizations financially. Get involved politically in your communities. Make sure your church, your pastor, your priest is involved, that they're speaking out regularly. Every Sunday, people should be talking about this. This is a pressing issue. This is not going away. Abortion and the attacks on freedom in our country, the attacks on family, on marriage. Be a part of this actively. Make this a part of your daily prayer life, asking God how to get involved, praying for the unborn, praying for our nation, and then get out there politically, socially, getting involved in different organizations, Help Live Action, get involved, and don't stop. You know, make this part of our, part of your life of and part of your giving, because this is an issue that affects all of us, whether we realize it or not.
Do you agree with what mm-hmm. you've heard? It's time for us to get the light of life and love and truth back on the lampstand. There is Lila's website, and here is the gift of life. Governor Huckabee, who began really his life career here with us at Life Outreach years ago when he left the seminary, came to be with us. Governor Huckabee is the narrator of this incredible documentary on life. And my testimony, the story of my birth, I was a product of a forced sexual relationship. It was a rape. It wasn't violent, but it was a forced sexual act imposed on a practical nurse caring for the elderly father. And my mother tried to have me aborted, and the doctor said, "No, ma'am, I don't believe it's right." Thank God, she said, she paused and prayed. Tell the story in the documentary, The Gift of Life. We'll send it to you if you'll just help us save lives. Lila, I've done something in line with what you're doing and actually have carried it a little further. Choose Life is one of the major emphases. The whole book is built on life. But we wrote, and think about this, I joined as a Protestant, as an evangelical evangelist, a Christian minister. I joined with a Catholic who loved Jesus and with Catholic leaders and priests, and the two of us came together, and with all of the leaders in the evangelical Protestant community of all different denominations, they embraced and encouraged us to write the book Indivisible, and we took every major issue facing us in the nation today that should be a matter of prayer and attention, and we are really working together. And what we're trying to do is equip you. This is body armor to win the battle for faith, family, and freedom. It's the truth that equips us for this day. And I really encourage you to get it. We'll gladly send you the book. It's in the bookstores. But Lila, I think God is bringing people together right now to be that shining city set on a hill that cannot and will not and must not be hidden. And we've got to move in love and compassion and action, but we've got to do it, and we've got to do it together. And I'm challenging you to do it. This is no day just to sit back. Don't start quoting last day's verses about how bad it's going to get. Wait a minute. It may be getting bad, but we don't have to join the bad. We don't have to give planet Earth, our life, our children, our family, our nation, our community, our schools, to a worldview that disregards God and eternal truth. Please come out of the closet of seclusion and be a light. Please. I want to show you something, Lila, that I know you're going to identify with. You're going to see precious children that are the joy of their mom's hearts, but they're hungry, and we've got the cure. Please watch this with your heart, because you are the answer.
Yeah.
What's happening in your heart, honey, when you watch that?
You know, as I'm looking at that, I think children are supposed to outlive their parents. That's the way God created us to be, and to each generation to bring hope and youth and to bring encouragement and love, pass it on. And these children, they're dying before their parents. These mothers are watching their babies just die in their arms, and it's a simple solution. They need food.
I just look at them and I just see precious, precious, precious little lives. I won't ever get used to looking at them, and I won't ever look away because I see them as such a treasure. I look at a little boy with his face pressed up, obviously, I guess, against his mother. And I thought he was so pretty. I saw three children standing. The taller child had on kind of a nice little African dress. And I saw them hungry, and I thought, I wonder who would feed those three. I see families that are hungry and the parents are so concerned about the children, and I'm saying, I know that mother's hurting, and I know that in Sudan, which is where those pictures were taken, where they're being persecuted terribly as the southern half has broken away from the very abusive northern part of radical Islamic extremism, and these people pray. And I know because our mission team asked them, do you pray? Yes. Do you know Jesus? Yes. And they're praying for their children. And you're the answer. You here in the United States and Canada and Australia and all over the world, you're the answer to their prayers. But you say, okay, how do I do it, okay? The mission workers are there. We're feeding hundreds of thousands of children. You've seen some of them. They represent the thousands. They're each one that precious to God and to their family. I'm asking you to dial that number right now and take your bank card and use it the best way you'll ever use it in your life, and that's to give life. And I'm asking you if you can give $1,000 and help us feed 100 children for the next months, or give 100 and help us feed 10, or 50 and help us feed 5, or the 3 I referenced, give 30. Whatever you can do, I'm asking you to do it right now. Father, I pray every person watching would simply get up, go to the phone, get their bank card, and say, you know what? I am going to be an answer to that mother's prayer and those missionaries' prayer. I'm going to express your heart, God, and extend your hands, God. I'm going to save lives today, and I'm going to rejoice in it. God, help them to do it. In Jesus' name, now do what God tells you to do. You want to go online, lifetoday.org, make the gift there, or you can write a check. Make it to Life. That's what you're giving, Life. But call the number and tell us you're mailing it, and then mail it. And thank you, because I know you will. I feel like you will, because I feel you've identified with God's heart, and you're going to express His heart by extending hands of love. That's what I believe you're doing. And I want to thank you for it, because life is precious. And we can save those lives. This is not an incurable disease. We got the answer in our hand. Would you release it? Thank you for doing it.
At this very moment, a child is drawing his last breath, struggling to stay alive due to a lack of food. Sadly, this impoverished child is not alone, and without our help, many like him face death as well. Today, you can make a difference. You can help save a life. Life's Mission feeding teams are in place right now, ready to answer the hunger cries of 400,000 suffering children in remote areas of Africa. With previous food reserves gone and parts of Africa facing its worst famine and food shortage in more than two decades, we desperately need to replenish our supplies immediately. Your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 will help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift, we'll send you the Jesus Storybook Bible. This beautifully illustrated book will help your children discover for themselves that Jesus is at the center of God's great story of salvation, and at the center of their lives, too. With your gift of $100 or more to help feed 10 children, you may request our new international version and new King James side-by-side Bible with a two-column format for easy comparison. Finally, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and save the lives of 100 children. And you may also request the Lion and the Lamb bronze sculpture. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
You know, we're so anxious to send you the children's Bible and the beautiful side-by-side Bible. If you'd like to have to be equipped to win the battle today, and you'd like Indivisible, just ask for it. But please, help us give hope and life to those precious children in Sudan and other parts of Africa. It's such a joy to save lives and point them to the source of life. Betty and I want to say thanks again to Lila Rose. She is a champion. She's an ambassador for Christ and for truth. Lila, God bless you and all you do. Again, her website, get the word out. I hope you show the gift of life in your churches. Thank you so much for sharing this time with us.
As long as you can, and finally you just go, you know what, you're meaner than a snake, and I'm gonna be mean right back. I mean, there's just
the law of kindness. Tomorrow, Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.